Everybody, if you don't know, you should know. My name is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and,
Yellow.
Austin!
Yeah?
You listen to me now.
No, I can't talk right now. I'm doing a little thing about that. You know, the one I told you about.
CM Punk?
Yeah, he's a real piece of shit. Okay. Who the fuck wrote this bullshit? What the fuck is this?
I mean, have you seen his tour bus?
It's a $2 million tour bus.
Granite counters, granite floors, cherry cabinets, all the bullshit. Well, guess what?
There's a fucking shower on that bus, too. When you get in that goddamn shower, hit the bar of soap. Put a little water on it and rub it all underneath your armpits, around your balls and your fucking asshole, would you, you smelly prick?
Oh, what a hideous thing to say to a human being.
Here's a tube of toothpaste. What you do is you pour some of this out on a little toothbrush and you scrub them fucking gimmicks in your mouth. They're called teeth. Get all that yellow shit off of them. Your breath don't smell like a motherfucker. You understand what I'm saying? Deodorant. It's a miracle worker. You put it under your fucking armpits. You get me? You fucking Viking. Last but not least, your old trusty hairbrush. This thing does a goddamn wonders if you got some fucking hair. I ain't got no fucking hair. Comb that fucking shit you call a wig. You understand me? Goddamn, I'd like to sit here and just keep shooting the shit with the camera guy and the sound guy, but truth is, I gotta go take a big hairy dump. Oh my God!
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addie.
Hey yo, I'm a very perplexed Mo. Much like you guys who heard the audio, I just saw the Stone Cold shooting on CM Punk video for the first time. And I have no idea what the hell to make of that.
You don't? Huh. That was awesome.
It was alright. It was alright.
I thought it was, pretty fucking funny.
I'd like to know who edited for him.
Hmm?
I'd like to know what the purpose of it was. I'd like to know anything. I'm hoping he does one of these every week on a different guy and he just picks CM Punk to start.
Yes. You would like to know anything.
It would be a start.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm perplexed. It was all right. There was a couple funny lines in there, but I didn't think it was awesome like you did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was,
You just liked it because he's cursing.
Fuck yeah. Really gets your fucking point across when you fucking curse.
Well, you know what? You gosh darn right it does.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. That's... Like, I was like, what the fudge, you know?
You know.
Like, Sylvester Stallone, I
said, where the fudge is that, you know?
I'm not sure. Neither does my dog.
Yeah, your dog might be smarter than me.
That's true. Might be.
All right. So what do you say about it? What's your points? What's your things there?
It just entertained me. It entertained me in a way that... I haven't been entertained in quite some time.
Really?
Yeah.
There was like 3 or 4 things on Raw that entertained me that much.
Well, not that much. There were some things on Raw that entertained me.
Oh, some things on Raw entertained me more than that. I think that was...
Than that.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that great. It was all right. A couple, like, make you smile moments. One moment where I kind of laughed and, what was so great about it?
It was just cutting up. It was Steve Austin cutting a promo. I mean, again, the other thing on Raw that was so great, as great as that, was guess what? Mick Foley cutting a fucking promo. Guess what? It's 1999 again. No, it's not. But that's kind of the point. It was just the fact that, I mean, and then I want to, we fast forward that to, again, to John Cena.
Yeah.
And John Cena again with the, good golly gee Williker fudge. I try to make that as PG as possible. And then it's the exact opposite of what we just heard from Steve Austin.
So
that one was entertaining and one was not. That's my point.
Well, yeah, because they don't write entertaining for him, stuff for him, and he generally doesn't have entertaining delivery. That said, it's not
because
the PG
he's
stuff.
Not
it's
entertaining.
Not the PG stuff that's not entertaining, and it's not the profanity that was entertaining.
Part of it.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't know. So what's the purpose of it? What is it? Does it get you excited?
Who cares?
I just hope that, like I say, if he's going to do one of those every single week,
this is
my favorite part might have been the Undertaker right at the beginning calling. Because other than that, it was, you know.
This was perfect. This is.
What was that belt that he had there? Because it wasn't the
BSer belt.
Okay.
That was the, but no, this is professional wrestling in 2012, okay? When you say, there, what's the point? There is no point.
Yeah.
There is no point to anything that happens in this business anymore.
One thing we do know is the WWE had nothing to do with that, I'm sure. And I have to wonder.
Actually, that's not true, because afterwards, and we cut it off, but it said, this message was paid for by the campaign to elect Linda McMahon.
Ah.
So, it's, I think that's what it is.
Ah.
It's a Linda campaign ad is what that is.
Well, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, see?
No, it's all right.
Fuck yeah, it was.
And like I say, they had nothing to do with it, and hopefully that means that he's going to do another one next week.
Yeah.
Next week, do one on Ziggler. Following week, do one on Chris.
I don't think so. I think this is just kind of a one-off deal. I don't know that this, again, I don't think this leads to anything. Yeah, well, not even planned. I think he just had some time, and he just did it, right? I don't know that it means anything or is anything.
I don't think
it was
so,
just entertaining.
The editing of that is too much and too long for it to just be a throw-off thing.
I don't know. Either way, I guess people possibly talking about Steve Austin, which may be the point.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? So, yeah. So, I mean, now that we're kind of done with that, I talked about Mick Foley. I think that's largely accepted to be the highlight of Raw.
Mick Foley was good. Mick Foley is kind of, to me, he came out there looking to me like he had a purpose to show people and to remind the audience, himself, and the creative, that he actually is not just the Muppet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seemed motivated. He wanted to prove a point. Like, hey guys, I can actually have a role that can actually do something here.
Yeah.
Besides just the bullshit that you have me doing most of the time.
Dressing like Santa and such. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. I mean, this is the first time he's been effective since probably the moment with Ziggler. So he was good. He was very good.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it highlights, like, when he's that good, again, it just highlights how bad everybody else is. And you did say that, and that is true.
Well, and again, it's not even that it highlights how bad everybody is. It's that everybody else is, there's something to be said about how things used to be done. And,
yeah.
and unfortunately will never be done again. And that's where Foley is a product of. And I thought that it was starting to me to get a little bit kind of monotonous in Foley until he talked about, I beat John Cena. You know, I'm not going to face John Cena. He's got countless shots. I've beaten him so many times. I've beaten everybody so many times. That's why I'm the champion for 309 days. And that's when Foley snapped and said, it's not about days. It's not about statistics.
It's
about
moments. That was a good line.
That was
a great line.
And
because that line even was so good and delivered so well,
mm-hmm.
that even the CM Punk character kind of went,
huh.
Fuck, he might be right.
Well, and that's what it's designed to do, to get Punk into Hell in the Cell, I think,
yeah,
right?
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
But that to me, I was like, okay, now he's got it. And he just kept going. And that's where you find out, okay, well, does Foley still have it anymore, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And that's, he does, obviously, right?
Obviously,
so, I mean,
yeah.
It's the way that he continued to go on about, you know, Hell in the Cell and throwing things off.
It didn't
off
make much sense. The stuff that he was saying about Heyman didn't make much sense, since he's never really had a bad word to say about Heyman in character in real life or in a shoot before.
No.
So, but yeah, I mean, this was, you know.
Well, but he did go to the point of saying, you know, I never saw that side of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman never lied to me. And
yeah.
So, which is that? Which
yeah.
made
well,
me laugh,
Paul Heyman
actually.
Talked to him, so.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then, Foley talked to Jim Cornette in the last week too.
Yeah, exactly.
So when he said that Heyman would rather, you know, climb up a tree and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth.
Was that a direct line from Cornette?
Well, if it's not, Heyman, which
it's
probably is, it's probably about Russo or Ferrara or somebody. I mean, Cornette didn't come up with it, but that's his line.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it was good. It was good stuff. Foley was very good.
He was.
He was definitely. Yeah, he was the best performer on the show from a talking perspective for me.
Oh yeah, I mean it was the highest rated segment of the night too on Raw. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, not that
that's
saying very
shit,
much.
Though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
we'll get there in a bit.
But it was. Yeah.
So what else did you like? I mean, the Ziggler Kingston match obviously was good. But,
yeah, it was good.
A little bit lacking in psychology because they tried to fit a lot in into a short time. So I thought that hurt it a little bit, but it was good. I mean, those guys, like you say.
In ring wise, that was the best match on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That was there. You know, we had what is now Team Hell No, I guess.
Steve Austin should be their manager.
That's right, see?
But he's a hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. But I think they had the thing with the, in the diner, and there are multiple things in the diner that, again, were I thought was kind of a mixed bag for me.
I didn't like a single one of them.
Yeah, see, but you're largely a negative person, so I can see that.
But I'm positive also they sucked. Well, here's the thing. The very first one was, it's like...
My name is Gerald, and I'm a waiter.
Yeah, and I just looked at... And then why is he sitting down later if he's the waiter?
Well, that was just a role play.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was just Dr. Shelby doing exercises.
Oh.
I didn't like the one where he had to eat the meatball and he had to eat the thing, and it was the burp and the puke. I thought, okay, well, that's Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
just,
I didn't like...
You know,
I mean, obviously, I think the one people are talking about the Harry McSally, but the problem is the second that I saw them, before even Kane showed up, I went, oh, they're going to do a Harry McSally with Mae Young. Like, before Kane even walked out of Gerald. I just like, oh, that's where they're going with it. And because it's not 1995, it's not fresh, and it's been seen a billion and one times. And it's just like...
95?
Yeah. I don't know when that movie came out.
It was like an 80s movie, I'm pretty sure.
It's probably, up until 95, we'll give them about 6 years of doing that parody.
Yeah.
And then,
the funny thing is that they didn't really start doing that parody until 2005.
No.
With the Christy Hemme, Kurt Hang. No, I mean wrestling.
Christy, well, wrestling, yeah, that's true. But Christy, that's right, I forgot she did it too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
But I think that, I mean, to me, Mae Young said, oh, how would you do that? Okay, I giggled at that. I said, okay, it's Mae Young. If you're going to have anybody do it, you're going to have Mae Young say it, and I'm okay with that.
I think it would have been funnier if Pat Patterson said it.
Well, that's true. That's true. But wearing his King of the Ring clothes.
Yeah. That would be great.
I don't know. See, and again, we talk about how many diner segments did they have?
Three.
Three, yeah. See, and I don't even remember the other one.
No, that's it. I mean,
that's it.
One,
and that's,
it was the Hermit Sally, the growing up one.
Oh, was it? Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I liked... I like two of the three, then, I guess I'd say. So, I mean, and again, but they weren't, like, all the time.
People turned away, and it's like me. It's just, and I can tell you the reason why people are turning away, at least a theory. I can't tell you, you know,
obviously.
Exactly why. But I can give you a theory as to why people are turning away. I can tell you why I don't like it, even though I think that they are funny together. Like, they just have a nice dynamic. They're enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's not even, I'm turned off by it. And like I said, I don't enjoy it. Not so much because it isn't somewhat entertaining. It's all right. Because they're good. They're good performers. The problem is, this isn't how people want to see Kane, and this isn't how people want to see Daniel Bryan. People want to see Kane as a monster.
Yeah.
They do. And they want to see Daniel Bryan as a serious, world-class technical wrestler who could go in the ring like nobody else.
Yeah.
That's what they want to see of him. So because they're, say, giving him a mid-card comedy act, even though they get more than mid-card responses from the live crowd, and even though they're the lead of a tag team division, that, and I love this, they're building up.
Yes.
We'll get at to the it. End of the day, the reason people aren't as interested in returning off, I think, is that reason. Is that they're just going, this isn't the Daniel Bryan and Kane I want.
That's right. And I think the initial thing, and not so much with Daniel Bryan, but with Kane, I think the initial thing with Kane was him being human, for lack of a better word, right? For saying I'm Gerald, or for when he recounted his entire life in the anger management thing. And things are... people will get into that for a short time because it's the paradox and it's something different. It's ironic that this monster is, you know, is acting normal and being, you know, that thing.
Well,
but
like,
but
I
that grows
when,
thin soon.
Well, it was one. Who was it? He was backstage when he did the Hulk Hogan impression. Came back out of screen. It was like
with
the Rock and Hogan.
Rock and Edge and Hogan. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he did that, but he didn't. I don't recall him continuing to do that, did he?
No.
Like,
well,
he did
you know
that
what?
One time, and then it was
actually,
funny, and it was good.
I think, well, yeah, the Canaanites.
The Canaanites.
And
he
then,
did do that.
And he had that for a little bit, but then something happened.
Yeah.
And it was the same way he started to get that way again with he's happy and he's got Terry as his girlfriend and he's teaming with the Hurricane, and then they had the Katie Vick thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but... he's always kind of sometimes had that, and that's, but it never lasts very long because it can't be sustained.
It can't be sustained. And also, like I say, if it was one or two times, but now it's been multiple times, it's been too many times the Kane has been presented this way, which is against the way that people, I think, are used to him and want him. And also, like I say, Daniel Bryan, I think people respect Daniel Bryan, as good as he is at anything he does.
Yeah.
I think they really want to see him in a more of a I don't know, shooter type role, I guess. I really do think that. He can be entertaining, but they still want, I think people want to go, he can entertain me, but I still want to respect him. Whereas this is more of a, he can entertain me and he's not respectable type of angle.
But again, and that's Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the two predecessors before him were Kurt Angle and Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, is that they always had the respect.
Yeah.
Of because they know that they could go.
Yeah.
But they were presented as, you know, yippee-ki-yay and I am not a nugget, and, you know,
and because of that, they weren't as big draws for them as they could have been.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And that's no question. It's just,
yeah.
But that's Vince McMahon's mentality, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to get. And I mean, eventually he's going to have to lean on Daniel Bryan because the time will come where he'll have to lean, because the time come where he had to lean on Owen and he had to lean on Kurt, and it will come again, but it just won't mean as much.
Like I say, they're not being buried from a position on the card. I mean, all of SmackDown was them, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I say, they're building up a tag team division. That's great. They're not being buried in that way. It's just that they're being presented in a way that the fans are like, I like this, but this isn't what I want to see, even though I like it.
And again, with my, apparently I'm apt to do comparisons today, but again, flavor of the month stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is again, you get into Eugene was the flavor of the month.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hurricane was the flavor of the month. Guys that were humorously entertaining.
And Tina Morello.
So Tina Morello, Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Was earlier this, you know, for about the first 2 months of this year,
yeah,
was that flavor of the month. But those die quickly. Now, these two guys will rebound from that and won't, you know, go the way of a Scotty Too Hotty or a Brodus Clay. But,
yeah.
I mean, it is something where they're not going to be used to potential. And this is, these guys are so talented, especially Daniel Bryan, that it's not a burial, like you said, but it's going to be kind of a slow erosion,
yeah,
to the point where if this continues to go along in, you know, 3 years, let's say, there's going to be that point where he can't be anything more than the Intercontinental Champion.
And it's like we talked about Dolph Ziggler. I think it was last week you said to me, if you're going to strap the rocket to somebody,
yeah,
who's it going to be? And I say Wade Barrett. Now, the first guy that popped in my mind was Ziggler, and I thought, nope. He's lost too much.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a talented enough. He's got everything, but he's lost too much.
When you look at the SmackDown spoilers with Miz TV, and Dolph Ziggler does what? Take a brogue kick.
Really?
Shocking, I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, finally.
Fuck, about time.
Yeah.
But
no,
I mean,
but that's exactly it. The reason why I go, okay, I don't think you can build him up and put the strap the rocket to him is for that. That's the only thing holding him back.
Plus, he's
the
dead.
The way he's been, the rocket.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He's dead, too.
He's coming back.
I think so.
Dustin Reynolds told me.
Yeah. He was in a corn chip of mine.
Yeah. I thought that was Mary.
Oh, right. Why was she bugging?
Anyway, but, what I'm trying to say here
right.
is, yeah, I mean, that's, and you will get to that point, like you say, it'll probably happen after a while, but they will get that point with Daniel Bryan eventually, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's the thing, and it's just a matter of, and like you said, with Dolph Ziggler, it hasn't been, like, his slow, again, erosion has been, I mean, you look at what he was fighting Punk, hell, you go back to when he fought Edge,
yeah,
two Royal Rumbles ago now,
exactly.
And it's just, I mean, and then you put something like a Money in the Bank on him, and it's still, that won't really mean it. People think, oh, he's going to get the belt because the Money in the Bank guy always gets the belt kind of
yeah.
thing, but it's not going to really mean anything.
Cena.
Well, yes, but I mean, it's just, it's not going to draw or do or be anything because he's not been presented as the guy.
No.
You know, he hasn't stayed undefeated. Which,
now, there is the one thing that I think, but I'm not so sure it'll work. Even though the crowd is cheering for him, I'm not sure how good a babyface, his wrestling style is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just his personality, I'm not so sure how good a babyface he'll be.
Right.
The one thing is that he's been losing. He's always been a heel. If he turns babyface and never loses again, he does have that. It's not like
yes.
a guy like Christian who's lost both as a babyface and a heel so many times that
that's
you really
true.
Can't ever see him at that level.
You could reboot him as a that's right.
That is the one advantage that he still has. But you know, even then, I don't know that it would work just because of how he's being presented for so fucking long.
Well, and one of the things that I kind of put through in that, I put that if WrestleMania was today column that I put on WeTalkWrestling.com was that's one of the matches that I had in there was Dolph Ziggler against The Miz.
Yeah.
And Dolph Ziggler as a babyface who he wins, obviously, in the Money in the Bank briefcase, but
mm-hmm.
somehow with Vicky accidentally or whatever causes him to lose the title. And that's when he snaps and fires Vicky and turns into babyface. To me, that's the catalyst to get him
to
go.
You know what? The thing is, I think Miz should also be a babyface. But Miz is a good example.
Yeah.
Because Miz was a loser who finally got the belt, never beat anybody. Nobody bought him as champion.
Yeah.
Lost the belt and is now...
A loser.
A loser.
Yeah.
A loser.
Yeah.
Like
he won...
And he'll always be seen like that by the fans. He's a perfect example.
He won two matches when he come back from that Marine... movie shoot.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and...
So, I mean, even though he was getting a push about a year ago, you know...
Well,
so
but
that
that's...
So he and the R-Truth could be attacking. Same thing, Truth is another one.
Yeah.
They strap a rocket to him for 3 months. It doesn't matter. Nobody sees him as more than a mid-carder.
Yes.
Even when he gets a title shot or he's in the awesome Truth, still a mid-carder.
Well...
So this is what they're threatening to do with Daniel Bryan. And Kane, not so much, because Kane's been around for so many years.
Kind of, yeah.
He's
kind of Teflon,
just don't want, the people just don't want his character presented like this. It's just not what they're used to. It's not what they really want.
No.
But Daniel Bryan is different. It's that people, they want to see him be more of a shooter type, more of a Perry Saturn when he first came in with how he's presented.
The WCW,
that was really good. That type of character, you know. It's funny, they didn't really want to see Perry Saturn...
Wear a dress
and be the crazy man. On the other hand, that when he was doing the crazy man, he was probably getting his most cheers, but he was threatened to never be a draw. There is a different thing. Like funny, it's like they said, funny doesn't equal money. Funny can entertain. Funny can get a huge house of reaction.
Yeah.
Santino Morello can get a bigger reaction than almost anybody there, and yet can draw the least amount of money.
Why did Steve Austin's heel turn ultimately not work?
He was funny as hell.
We don't need no stinking badges, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Is like you said, funny didn't draw any money. I was entertained as hell as The Rock and Stone Cold singing Margaritaville the night before Survivor, the Raw before Survivor series.
And but you know what? That drew no fucking money. That was it didn't sell the pay-per-view.
No, God, it didn't. No,
the pay-per-view tanked.
Well, I don't know that it tanked.
It did.
But
it was a huge disappointment for them at the time. It's probably a better way to put it.
Probably, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why. And then Paul Heyman tried to salvage it on the SmackDown.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought did a pretty good job. But, again, more people are watching Raw than SmackDown.
Yeah.
So it didn't, you know. But, no, we talked about, you know, Dolph, he goes and he can be undefeated. Well, that leads us to the end of Raw. With Ryback Acne staring CM Punk down after basically Punk goes into the back after the show and sees Foley, walks by Foley, turns around, kicks Foley in the gut, Foley doubles over, and then Punk continues to walk away, stops for a second, turns around to go back to presumably deliver more punishment to Foley, and then it just looks like he's seen a ghost. And I mean, I'll be honest, the first thing I thought of was The Undertaker, because Hell in the Cell and Foley, right?
Yeah.
So my first thought, I'm thinking, like, okay, I don't know what you would do or why.
Yeah,
I mean, but...
a ghost, because Goldberg's dead, right? And then
yeah.
He thought he was, but Ryback is right fucking there.
Well, and then he turns around, and they pan the crowd over, or they pan the camera over, and they've got the crowd just mic'd, because you could tell the crowd was really mic'd.
Yeah.
No reaction, like pin drop.
Yeah, remember when it was? Oh, fuck, who was it? It was years ago. Snitsky was getting a huge push,
mm-hmm.
and Vince McMahon confronts Cena in the ring, and he'd been beating all these
right.
robbers, right? And
yes.
And he's like, "I'm gonna book you against someone. I'm going to book you against Snitsky.
Snitsky.
Cricket.
Yes.
And then so he repeats it. I said, he must have thought his mic didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, Snitsky. No reaction. And you can see the look on his face like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And from there, Snitsky lost, and he pushed right to the bottom.
Right to aces and eights. But yeah. But I mean, it's what it is, though. Yeah, it's, I mean, Ryback, he beat The Miz in a non-title earlier, and then, yeah, then he come out at the end, and again, I don't know what the hell you do with him, because, I mean, with this thing with Punk, it's like,
It doesn't make any sense. The guy has not, he has to beat guys like Miz, more guys at that level. At least Miz is a higher level than Heath Slater, who he's been beating, or Jinder Mahal. So, I gotta say, Slater, Mahal, Drew McIntyre. Really love that.
I like the idea there. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting. I they did a Superstars match as well.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they present that and where that goes.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, if you
is get, no, because he's in the other company, so Al Snow can't come in and lead them.
But that's what it is, and that's fine.
Yeah. Oh no, you can have a job squad. That's fine.
Call him that even.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and they own it.
They do. They probably, yeah, that's right. They do. So
you can give one of them ahead if they want.
Pin me, pay me, yeah. But,
no, I mean, it's no problem, right? That's the thing. Ryback hasn't really beaten anybody. He hasn't had a match that people can remember or point to where it's either, A, the match was of such high quality that people are talking about it, or B, he looks so fucking awesome. Like, Lesnar early on had matches where you're like, he looked so fucking awesome. You would talk about it.
Yeah.
You remember the match. Even if it was only a 2-minute match.
No, exactly. And I mean, and he come in and he was fighting the Hardy Boys 2-on-1 and such. And,
yeah.
You know, and there were guys. That's the other thing, too, is, I mean, again, we talked about it last week, is that there aren't guys in place that are able to get guys to the next level over, right? Because
yeah.
they're in that generational gap that always happens after a boom period. So it's going to be even tougher. But, no, I mean, when I saw Ryback, I went like, what the fuck?
I mean, I'm trying to figure out, do you know, what else, do you know why?
It's no, I haven't heard why
I
at all.
I cannot think that it's to set up him and Punk.
No, because.
I cannot, and it can't be, it certainly can't be at Hell in a Cell if Cena can't go. I just can't see that. So, my thinking is, this is to set up down the road, Ryback at WrestleMania versus Lesnar. That's my thinking.
Maybe, but you've got Hunter there, so I mean it's
yeah, but that may not be a Mania.
That's true.
Might lose again before that. It might be Ryback versus. Though I think they think that they want Ryback to go over on Lesnar. I think there's a good chance Lesnar resigns.
Well, that's. I mean, if we want
to, because he's proven now against Hunter to be a draw.
$350,000.
They're going to need to resign him. He has the hammer. He probably will resign. So that said, you don't put a guy like Ryback who's just never going to make it. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why you don't put him over Lesnar. I mean,
exactly.
That's the whole thing.
But you build
right?
him up so he keeps beating people. Everybody's afraid.
So he's Wrath.
Yeah.
Remember Wrath used to get those mini pushes just to lose to Goldberg, like every 6 months on television. He would win for like 6 weeks. And then Goldberg would beat him on Nitro, and then they would do it again. They'd do it in the spring, and then the following fall, they would do it again.
I think
they did it like 3 times, built up Wrath just to lose to Goldberg, which,
exactly.
I mean, fine.
So, I mean, that's it. But, I mean, you build up so that you can have because you don't want Lesnar in the Royal Rumble. So you have Lesnar versus Ryback at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And Lesnar beats him, and then he goes on to face fucking Triple H at Mania.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what I was thinking. It just makes more sense to me. That Paul Heyman would sit there and go, this Ryback monster.
Yeah.
I don't want to put CM Punk against him. I have the solution to the Ryback.
Well, yes, you could have Ryback, causing Punk some problems and just not having a match, but just kind of giving him some problems, you know,
you want him,
showing
you
up in my...
beat this man.
You're showing
you
up
know,
in... Yeah.
You have Ryback in the ring, you know, you have Heyman talking to him, you have Ryback not saying anything,
and
you have Ryback get right on him, hold on to him, grab him, and he goes, you want a shot, you can get it, but first you have to beat this man.
Brock Lesnar.
Music, here comes the pain, fucking music hits.
Yeah.
He gets in the ring, they're face-to-face. Guarantee the crowd will react to that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how you do it. And that's it. And then, like I say, he loses to Lesnar, and you know what, then you build up Mason Ryan to lose to Lesnar down the road.
No.
No, you're right.
No, you don't. You fire Mason Ryan. But
yeah, and then you fire Ryback?
Zeke. But
I don't know if you fire him.
With
he's just
Ryback, one thing I will say is that because
it's funny though, because he's got this push for this long. Does he even have like a finishing move that's got a name? Like, have they even given him a name for that finishing move?
They may have, actually. I don't really pay attention to his matches, to be honest.
True.
So
he's generally, he's DVR fast forward material.
Yeah. The thing is with, well, cause it's formulaic and you know the outcome.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, because then he says, feed me more.
Yeah.
I was watching on YouTube and I was flipping around and somehow I got on to Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Old Tough Enoughs. On YouTube, just saying, it started with John Morrison trying out for Tough Enough 2, and just him with short hair. Anyway, but then it morphed over to Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
Who, of course, it's Ryback.
Yeah.
And Al Snow talking about him, he's on season 4, I believe it was, of Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Ryan Reeves. Sitting there on a,
I
in a.
He was on the same one as, Daniel, what is it, Luter?
Pewter, yeah. Pewter and the Miz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the live.
The one on TV.
Yeah.
But sitting right next to him, I'm pretty sure, was Jack Swagger, on a limo. I don't know how far, but anyway, the story of Ryan Reeves that's told in a couple of YouTube clips.
Yeah.
Is about how he can't stop eating.
Oh.
He sits down at like a Denny's and he will order everything on the menu.
Cole said that at some point. I think it was on a SmackDown. He talked about how he literally eats like 8,000 calories a day.
So, he will just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Hence, I'm pretty sure that's probably where Vince McMahon, well, then we'll say, feed me more, pal. Like, that's his.
You're
literally,
gonna
that's literally the.
He said that's Daniel Bryan. We have a skit for you in the
third
one.
Yes.
You're gonna puke.
He's gonna puke. But no, that's... He's gonna puke. But, so the buys, yes, for SummerSlam, 350,000, up from 301,000 last year.
For the one man.
Yes, Triple H.
No.
Oh.
No. Here's the thing. I mean, even
Zach
though they completely fucked up the build to SummerSlam, at the end of the day, the only reason I was really watching the one match I gave a shit about was still Triple H. Because Triple H had that great match with Cena, because I figured they'd have a four-star match.
Triple H had a great
match. Lesnar had that great match with Cena.
Right.
Because they had, like, I was thinking four-star match. It didn't turn out to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people liked it more than we did.
Wasn't there more of us?
What do you mean?
The DX.
Oh, yeah. The build,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the problem, is the build was shitty, but at the end of the day, I still wanted to see it because of, like, if it had just been the build that they did, I wouldn't have given a shit.
Well, it's like the Big Show,
but
right?
But knowing that there was nothing they did, but the build to me was to see if Lesnar could pull it off twice in a row.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That was the appeal.
And yeah, but you thought we were talking about the Big Show, right?
What's
you
that?
Said the build was shitty.
Oh, well, that too.
He has a shitty build.
He has a shitty build. Yeah.
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 Because he's fat.
Yeah.
Probably going to face
you know who else has a shitty build?
Sheamus, though, huh?
Oh, I have Big Show Sheamus. It's fresh. I don't give a shit. But it's fresh.
Yeah. Even after I shower.
Yeah.
So. With soap.
Pretty fresh. But anyways, the SummerSlam buys went
Viking.
Up. Lesnar's probably going to get another contract with them.
Yeah.
He's got the hammer now. He's got the good, you know.
Sledgehammer?
He's in a good situation. Yeah, the MC hammer.
Yes. Can't touch this.
Hammer time.
Do. Can't touch this.
Do it again.
Unless he's too legit.
What I like is that you were, nobody can see it. You're doing a little dance.
Put a hammer dance.
With it. Like, nothing was moving except for basically your
my feet.
No, it's just the insides of your thighs. Somehow.
Yeah,
you're
that's
just
the hammer dance. You wear the parachute pants? You shuffle back and forth?
You must have
huge
blue balls to pull that off.
Music hits me so hard. Makes me say, oh, my Lord, thank you. For
last week you told
me
to sleep with my mom.
Much. Yeah.
What?
What?
The fuck are you talking about?
Sleeping with your mom.
Oh.
I have herpes.
Oh, So, anyways, yeah. The pay-per-views in general doing a little better, but this one did a little better still. So, Lesnar's a bot. And I like the idea. I think we'll see that Lesnar versus Ryback. I think that's the way they're going. Makes sense, you know, that Heyman has the answer to the unstoppable monster, his own unstoppable monster.
Or will we see Lesnar against El Local?
Who?
El Local.
Oh, I heard about this. Wasn't he? This guy was against Sin Cara.
Sin Cara.
It's Ricardo in a match.
In a match.
It was in a dark match, right?
Yes. Well, it was beige. But it's him in a mask. Dark mask. it's him under a mask, which I guess because apparently what they saw on Raw they liked in terms of when they had the six man with Tonga, Ricardo, and Alberto Del Rio against
So he knows how to work the Lucha style.
Well, he knows that they liked what they saw him working with Sin Cara, but of course he also did that in a tuxedo.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
So that's why they put him under a mask, gave him like an actual like tights, and said go and do it and see what they could do. So that does bode well for Ricardo Rodriguez in the company. I mean,
you're talking about this. I'm still wondering how much credit do you think Triple H is taking for that buy rate?
Of course. So it's a lot. Thanks to your tango.
Yeah, I guess.
How much of this is
the fact that the people, the Zoom or Blockbuster, things are free, things are cheaper on the internet, people have more disposable income because they spend less, there's more free stuff, and the economy's a little bit better.
Economy's a bit better, yeah.
And so the combination of those two things means they have more disposable income.
Yeah.
And that's why they're something like the buy rates of this is going up.
Yeah, and then again, I think, well, that's part of it. That's probably more of it than Triple H. I mean, Triple H is the guy that Brock Lesnar faced, essentially.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And if you would put Brock Lesnar in against, say, a Sheamus or a Mark Henry or, somebody similar in that ilk, you'd be getting the same five.
Not quite, but pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty close.
Like you'd get Randy Orton, that Big Show. I mean, you'd be getting the same. If you put a quote unquote
little bit extra money in and the curiosity, like I say, it really was the curiosity. If he could pull it off again, Triple H would be willing to go where Cena was willing to go for the sake of the match.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of it again, but I think that's for us. And I think it's for people that listen to this show. But I don't think that, the people that were sitting around us at SmackDown a year ago, would be sitting there going, I wonder if Triple H will hold up his end of the bargain.
I don't know. There's some people. Remember, we would ask questions like, hey, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Because we were, like, watching NXT. And people would tell us.
Yeah.
So.
And then and the guy, Triple H and Stephanie, they're really married.
Yeah,
they're really married.
He was like, he wanted us to make sure that we actually knew that was real.
That was real. Everything
really?
Else was fake.
Really?
Yeah, that guy, he was wearing a purple John Cena shirt and had this big beard.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're really married.
Really married. Wow.
They really are.
Yeah, and that was because it was a Down syndrome girl that was asking questions about who was married and such.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was
Yes, yes. You can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, well, her mother was the governor of Alaska.
Yeah, so that's what I heard.
That's it. So, yeah. But, no, I think that it's, Brock Lesnar is a draw, obviously. Like you said, the contract going to be renewed.
And Ricardo Rodriguez isn't.
And Ricardo, yeah, I think Ricardo's in a good spot. And,
No, he's not.
I think so, yeah.
No, he's not.
Why not?
He can work with one guy. Where they're going to have the 1,000-1 matches?
Well, how can he can at least work with one guy. He can't only work with one guy. They happen to like him for his work against Sin Cara, but that doesn't mean he can't work with anybody else. Ray.
2 months from now, he'll be in the exact same position he's in now, which isn't a bad
spot. Which is employed. That's what I'm saying. He's in a good position. He's a fucking ring announcer lackey stooge that has the ability to actually go into the ring. And what this plays into is if Alberto Del Rio got hurt, Ricardo would not go away. Right, last time he did, and he may turn into El Local and fight Sin Cara or Primo Rega,
here's the thing about him. I think people kind of like him. He's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I think they could turn him babyface, and he could be at probably the Santino level.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, he had that thing,
the
that
Zack Ryder
tuxedo
level.
Bullshit. Yeah, the Zack Ryder, the Heath Slater level, sure.
Yeah.
And that's a good enough spot. I mean, that's, again, there's only so many spots in the company. He's not going to main event WrestleMania.
No, I mean,
nor should he. But, I mean, the fact that he's employed and he's shown versatility, that he can do that outside stuff, he can work if he needs to, he's in a good spot.
Which is funny, but, I mean, he was brought in, he was a wrestler in the Los Angeles area.
Yes.
Who, I mean, I think they were surprised they stumbled into somebody who was, he was never brought in to be there long term.
No.
Like, he was brought in to be the announcer for a week or two,
mm-hmm.
then he was so damn good at it that they kept on using him. So it never was the plan for it to be a long-term thing, for Del Rio to have his own personal ring announcer permanently. It was that he was so good in the role they couldn't get rid of him.
It was, meant to debut him and put Alberto over as this big aristocratic kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think it was always meant that he was going to have a Spanish announcer.
Maybe.
But I think they were going to, they weren't necessarily, they didn't care to have one. They would just go to your local town and dig Spanish guy talk. Yeah. Or like, like the Hoes, or, you know, even if you could use Hugo Semenovich or whoever, right? Carlos Cabrera, whoever the Spanish announcer, it's not, there's another new guy. I think Hugo's gone and it's Carlos Cabrera and some other guy. But anyway.
What was the guy TNA had? Something Jack?
Moody Jack.
Moody Jack.
Melendez,
I mean, that was the plan, though. I mean, they brought him in. He was a wrestler.
Mike Tenay's nephew they could use.
Yeah, that's right.
Willie Herbina.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was never planned to be a long-term thing, and it just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's been so good at it, and now he's, I mean, again, they didn't think he was much of a worker either.
Yeah.
Because he was an independent wrestler who had never drawn any money and never drawn any raves. He's not like somebody where people were writing about him like he's the next big star in the indie scene or anything.
No. He's
so,
not Christopher Daniels circa 2001 or anything.
No, exactly.
Realistically, in 6 months, he's still going to be with the company, right? Two people that are no longer with the company,
mm-hmm.
we just released today asking for her release, was Shaul Guerrero, who was doing Raquel Diaz was the character
in
NXT.
Yeah, on NXT, and she's got an attitude. She's a nice person, I understand. I'm kind of surprised.
She's the son of Eddie Guerrero and Vicky Guerrero, or the daughter of Eddie and Vicky. I mean, and that was the thing. Rave reviews backstage, really nice person. I mean, makes sense. I mean, her father had a big heart.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, at the end, anyway.
You're so proud of yourself for that one. Oh, brother love. Oh, my God.
I like the ugliness exfoliation tour was the NXT, was her gimmick. And I thought she was tremendous. I mean, she may not be catch-as-catch-can.
They were talking about her as the next Diva star, though.
Yeah, and she could have been. I mean, I saw that when I watched NXT. I thought she is everything.
So does this mean that she tried wrestling, was about to make it, and just decided, because she asked for her release.
Right.
She decided wrestling isn't for me. I don't want to follow in my father's footsteps, my uncle's footsteps, my mom's footsteps even. Is that what it was? Or is it that she went, I just don't want to do it for TNA or for WWE. I don't think I'm ready. I want to go and go to Mexico. I want to travel. Or is it that I want to go to a TNA and be with Chavo and be with my uncle over there? So, like, what is the...
We don't know. I mean,
there's a couple of... I mean, because what's the name? Hector's there doing that.
Hector, yeah.
The announcing, too. So, I mean, what is... I mean, it's really... It just seems strange. Nobody... She's only been at it, what, like 18 months, if that?
Well, you say it's going to be strange, but yeah, maybe. I mean,
but
a couple
I'm just saying,
years.
Like,
but
she's that close to reaching the big money and the stardom.
But,
and you decide, fuck it.
Yeah, but look at Kelly. Look at the Bellas.
At least they were there and they made the money and they got... They can use it as a platform for something else because they became famous.
And look, I mean, who knows? I mean, and Vicky's there. I mean, her mom's there. I mean, maybe it's, you know, just... Is this, you know, something might have happened. You don't know. In Florida, I'm going, yeah, that can happen. You really want to go through this. This is part of the... Maybe something happened backstage politically that they had to sit down and go, this is part of the business. Do you want to, you know, just this is going to happen. This sucks, but it happens. It will happen to you again, I can guarantee. And, you know, getting passed over or something, or someone being really critical or, you know, anything could happen that way. You don't know. And as I said, she could just look at it and say, you know, I don't really want to do this. And as I said, like Maxine is a similar example. She's got on the roster, right, and really didn't get anything. And
well, that was it, though. She was convinced she was never going to get anything.
Yeah. Well, that could be the same. I mean, again, they did. From all accounts, they had high hopes for Raquel Diaz.
Yes.
But, again, who knows? Maybe it was to the point where they said, you know, we like your character, but we think your in-ring work needs more. And she didn't like the in-ring stuff, perhaps.
Maybe.
And says, you know, maybe I don't care to work that hard.
I don't think so.
I did
what
I could.
What I,
I don't
heard.
Know. But, well, what did,
what,
you,
heard
well
about
what did you hear? It happened today.
Well, no, that's not what I had heard about her in-ring work and her just that overall stuff. And when they have somebody that they really, really like, they don't force them to improve on their in-ring too.
Well, no,
heavily.
That's not
Vince
McMahon either.
Right?
I mean,
look at
well,
Caitlin or someone like that. They're not, they don't give a fuck about that. I mean, I wonder about Vicky then. I wonder if this means Vicky. Vicky's now alone on an island, you know. I kind of wonder how long is she going to stick around. Does she want, A, does she want to? And B, how long will they decide that they can continue to use her? She's such a heat getter. I think they can use her for a while, but they haven't advanced anything with her for a long time either.
No.
Or placed her in any major storylines for a long time. Not like when she was working with Edge. But the other thing is, she has left once before. She did come back, but she left for, I think she was gone for several months.
Yeah, 6 months
quit
or so.
For, yeah, because she didn't like, you know, whatever.
Well, she had kids and such too, so.
She had kids to take care of, and she didn't like necessarily some of the
I don't know.
Comments and such.
I don't know about alone on an island, though. I mean, it's not like the fact that Shawl is gone. I mean, Shawl is in Florida. I mean, it's not like Shawl was in the company traveling.
There's that hope, oh, I'm going to work with my daughter. And now, and it had travel. I mean, she's still got people like Dean Malenko and, you know, I mean, there'll still be people that obviously.
Ray, I guess,
Ray. So she's probably not
Jericho.
I just wonder, though. I mean, I would not be surprised. I mean, she's in her mid-40s. She's, you know, I don't know.
240s.
She's not going to be.
She's in her mid-240s.
Not anymore. She's not going to be there 5 years from now, right? So the question is, when in the next 5 years does it happen? Immediately or longer?
Yeah.
She's
I
not going to be there 5 years from now. So Vince did say when Eddie died, and I think he has done his best to uphold this, she will never worry for money. That's why they employed her. That's it. They traveled. She was, you know, he felt bad, and he said that there will always be income for Vicky. For some way, there will always be income for the Guerrero family.
Well, that's right. And eventually, I mean, like we talk about what's going to happen in 5 years when, you know, I don't know how old their youngest daughter is, but is grown up and is on their own as well. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up being it's just about Vicky. And
it's the son. How old is that son now? He's 13 when that angle was happening.
What son?
Their son. Oh, that was Ray's son.
Well, no, Eddie's his poppy. I'm your poppy, Dominic.
Oh, fuck it.
Oh, yeah, Dominic's custody on a pole. Ladder match. Dominic custody ladder match.
Amazing.
That was tremendous.
I doubt he's either one of their kids. He's way too tall.
No, he is. He's Ray's kid. He is Ray's kid.
Well, the face is just like Ray's. So he's like fucking foot and a half taller.
Oh, yeah.
Like 13 already.
I know.
That's crazy.
But
Ray's daughter also showed up that one time and was great on camera with
Punk.
Punk so.
Yeah, singing happy birthday or something, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. But no, she was taking acting lessons too, the daughter. But that one surprised me that Raquel Diaz, like you said, it did surprise me because she never got to the main roster, and all signs seemed to point that they would. And it's very rare that a talent will then, you know, that they go into this looking to do it, and then all of a sudden they leave. So there's something there that we'll probably won't find out about for another week or two. But something's gotta be up.
It just does seem a little bit strange.
Oh, it does. It does. But any other diva that's no longer with the company, Beth Phoenix, or leaving
the
company.
Well, she's leaving
the
company, and they're gonna have her put over. Eve Torres on her way out the door. It looks like so.
Right.
Again, I don't know. Didn't she have a relationship with Punk? Is that still going on? Is it not going on?
She's with Edge now.
Seriously?
Yeah, she's no, really. She's,
I thought Edge was still married.
Guess not, or maybe. I don't know. No, she's with Edge. That's been known for a few months now that she's with she's dating Edge.
Okay.
So apparently, when word got out that she was dating Edge, that's when it was kind of presumed that she wasn't going to be with the company long term at that point.
I think she ends up in TNA.
Eventually, I think she would fit in very well there.
She would fit in very well there, and honestly, she obviously enjoys wrestling. She's not that old. You know, she's, yeah, she would fit in there.
Yeah.
I don't see her walking away. Even something like, I mean, Gail Kim is in TNA. She doesn't need to be there, but she's there.
That's right.
And you know, I think that would be what I expect.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, maybe Edge will show back up there. I mean, he still doesn't have the contract. Christian could show back up there. Of course, he's there to induct Sting. I still can't think of the connection for that, though. I mean,
that's very easy. Sting's religious.
What?
He's a Christian.
Oh, so fuck.
Christian. They said we need to have a Christian induct you. Oh! Perfect.
Can I have a Christian induct me? Yeah, we know just the one.
Yeah, you know, we could probably get him back.
Fuck,
they owe it for the Ric Flair thing.
Oh, Jesus.
That's it. Well, he wasn't available.
Oh, my God.
Neither was he.
Good Lord.
Call me Addy.
All right. I want to talk a little more about Punk and Heyman.
Okay.
Because they were good, right?
Yeah.
They're still not getting great heat, though.
Heyman is. Punk is starting to get booed. And Punk is starting to play into it now, where at first he was doing the whole I'm not a bad guy, thinking that people, that it was, that the fans were intellectual enough to see through their storyline, which they weren't. So now he's coming, I don't need these people. Listen to them, they're booing me. Well, I don't care about them, I care about me. So he's blatant about being a heel. That's starting to get the sheep to boo him. But it's not, Heyman just has that heat. But
Heyman does, but even then Heyman doesn't have hate heat. Heyman has, oh, you're good at your role, we're going
to
boo you.
Yeah, we have to boo you, yeah.
Yeah, and Punk doesn't even have that to, I mean, a little bit more, but not really. And I think what it is at the end of the day is, and you say people aren't smart enough, I think it's that they're too smart. I think it's that in a roster with so few talent, he's one of the few guys that his talent, even when he's doing such a heel role,
yeah.
much like Jericho, much like Dolph Ziggler now, I think his talent, even as a bad guy, he's so obviously so far above everybody else,
mm-hmm.
that people respect him and just don't really want to boo somebody who's so talented. Because now that the kayfabe, now that that has been broken down and there is no illusions anymore, I do think that it's just difficult for people to say he's not so too talented and we're just never going to really get
well.
So I think
ultimately as well, at the end of the day, he's fighting John Cena.
Yeah, and that's
and
another thing.
Nobody fighting John Cena is going to get it's
well,
very difficult,
but
that's what made Edge so great.
But even Edge couldn't get it.
Yeah, he could.
No, at first, yes.
Yeah,
when
he got it.
When he was first doing it, the first feud, but as it went on, I'll never forget the Saturday Night's Main Event Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC in prime time in Texas, where it was the booyahs for fucking Edge.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it didn't last. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what it is. People look at CM Punk, and like I say, because he is so talented and he stands out, people just aren't in the end going to boo him because they can see that. And it's like people look at CM Punk and they say,
Viking.
No, that's not. Well, one guy says that. But
yeah.
People look at CM Punk and they look at John Cena and they say, who's the better wrestler? In real, like, who's actually the better wrestler?
Right.
No, CM Punk's actually the better wrestler. Who's actually the better talker? No, CM Punk's actually the better talker. Why am I going to boo for the other or cheer
well,
the other
CM
guy?
Punk's
and that's the thing. Well, CM Punk is the better talker. That's what I said.
Yeah.
He's the better wrestler. He's the better. Well,
I don't know necessarily.
He is the better wrestler.
Well, yeah, not
at
by
least
much.
That's the perception.
Yeah, that's true.
At least that's
the perception.
So that for that reason, it's the same thing with Dolph Ziggler. If he's going to face Dolph Ziggler, people are going to cheer him. You know, cheer Ziggler over Cena. You know why? Because people are going to look at him and go, he's just as good a talker and he's a better wrestler.
Well,
I'm going to cheer him.
Look what happened to get Ziggler against Orton.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. People really went, you know, he's not any better than him, so why am I going to cheer him? And
yeah.
That's it. At the end of the day, Cena is he's very charismatic, but it's more his push, his sustained push for so long. The most charisma he showed was still back when he was doing the rap stuff. all those years ago, right? When he was first, when he first did it.
Yeah.
So I mean, the thing is about Cena.
I get the charisma from him quite often, but again, it's when he's saying
that's still the most charisma he showed.
Well, that's sure. I mean, because I think that's him. That was, again, that was a little bit of a different era, too, because that was coming off of the... That was the final, this kind of the straw that broke it, right? Was that final era part. It's not even about the Attitude Era. It's more about the non, we're going to script
Rock
every
cool.
word for you. Yeah, like all that stuff, right? And then just doing those, going out and doing those freestyle things when he's going to the ring. You know, that was... That was him kind of being him, where now, I mean, I'm sure if you saw John Cena at a bar, he'd be fuck this and fuck that, right?
Probably.
But not poopy this and poopy that.
No, exactly.
But this is him kind of turning it back, toning it back, and I can
but
see
even
why.
Even within their world, like, I really think is Cena the best promo? He's probably, maybe he's in the top third. Is he the best wrestler? Maybe he's in the top half. So, but basically, he has like the same push. He has some charisma.
Yeah.
But when people look at him, every single time you put him up against anybody, no matter who, people at the end of the day probably cheer that other person because they go, you know, that other person actually is better than him and doesn't have his spot.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be that, well, why the fuck don't they have his spot thing? And that's what you got.
Not with, his
and,
dog spot. Not his liver spot.
But that is, and that's what you got with CM Punk. That's why ultimately this isn't going to work. I don't care if he's with Heyman. I don't care if he's doing the character right. At the end of the day, because people are going to say, he's so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be the heel heat that they want again.
That's where I bought my mattress, see? Or bought my couch, rather. I bought my couch. No, it's where I bought my couch.
Where?
The Sofa King.
Oh, the Sofa King.
Yeah, it's not just good, it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, no, and again, when you look at CM Punk and what's ahead, because Hell in the Cell... leads to Survivor Series, leads to TLC, so who knows what's in store there for a couple of months, but then leads to The Rock at the Royal Rumble, and people are going to cheer CM Punk over The Rock at the Royal Rumble, not everybody, but 60-40, 70-30, I mean,
it's an extremely hardcore crowd, and that hardcore crowd is going to look at The Rock and go, you're not better than CM Punk. That's what they're going to
do. CM Punk can hang with you on the mic, and he's a better wrestler than you.
Yeah.
Is going to be, again. That's going to be what...
And that's why, ultimately, no matter why they tried to make it 50-50 with Cena and
Rock.
With Cena and Rock, at the end of the day, people went, Rock's as good a wrestler, and he's a bigger star. He's a better on the mic. And that was why and that's what Cena always has, is despite being his push and being a star, and he's a star, he's a Hall of Famer, he's a huge draw. At the end of the day, though, people always look at him, match him up in their mind, say, are you better at talking or better in the ring? And he almost always doesn't match up. He's as good or maybe he's better at one. Can you think of anybody he's been put up against all these years where you say he's better at both of these things?
Cena?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who?
Snitsky.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
But the other, he's a better talker.
Maybe, no,
he's
no.
a better talker than Umaga.
Yeah, but he's better at both than...
But Umaga was a nicer guy.
He's better at... He has a bigger heart. I see what you're going with. Fuck. I mean, Kali. That's about the only guy I can think of
Kali.
Ever.
Maybe
Kane. Maybe.
Yeah,
but even then.
But I think just to get back to when you're talking about a better talker, better ring worker. I think with John Cena, what it also comes down to, and this has come down with Punk and both Punk and The Rock, and that is genuine. Is that when The Rock talked and The Rock showed the goosebumps and The Rock, was saying, you know, let me just talk. I want to talk to you for a moment as Dwayne.
Yeah.
You're talking about doing something for all the boys in the back. I'm talking about doing it for all of the millions. And it comes across as genuine. CM Punk with the voice of the voiceless and the, again, comes across as genuine. I'm the best in the world. I'm better than you. I deserve respect. Again, comes across as genuine.
Even a Dolph Ziggler, because he's trying so hard and taking those crazy bumps, his passion for the business comes across as genuine.
It's not showing off if you can back it up, and he's backing it up genuine, right? I mean, again,
it's obvious the guy has passion for the business.
It's the same as, again, with Zack Ryder. People got behind Zack Ryder because he went on the internet and tried to get a push himself.
Yeah.
And people were going, yeah, I want to support this guy that's trying to find a new and unique way. And his character, yeah, okay, you can get with it, and it's harmless and funny or whatever. But this guy, I want to be part of the Ryder revolution and help this guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's genuine, again.
Yeah.
And you know, and then again, go all the way back. Foley, Austin. Again, these are guys busting their ass to get to where they are. Even Triple H.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Again, you saw the genuine emotion in what they did.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't get with John Cena. Like I said, when you see a John Cena at a bar, I'm sure he's fuck. You know, this and fuck that and drinking his shots and doing all that. And then, but then he's on TV doing his Phil Flarm.
The only time, yeah, exactly. The only time that I can recall seeing him where I went, wow, the passion is there is when he let Lesnar beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? And that was great. And we come out and we said that was great. But again, then he come on TV and smiled again, right? And then, boom, that's not genuine. That's just part of the show.
Exactly. All right, so that's good. All right, so let's, what else you got here?
Let's look. I only got a couple things. One thing we can hit on this briefly because we're talking about you know, Cena and all this thing. And that's Randy Orton, because we just mentioned Randy Orton. Is it time for Randy Orton just to go heel?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm looking at and who do you match him up with as a babyface? Like against a heel? Who do you go with?
Oh God, I don't know.
I know Tenzai, right?
Yeah, no, but that is the problem with. There's not. He is still the second or third biggest star in the company.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And he gets the reaction. He's probably now the third biggest star, and he still gets.
He gets an erection.
The reaction from the crowd, like he's a star ahead of anybody else, except for maybe Punk and Cena. So at the end of the day, who do you put him up against? Well, nobody, because there's nobody at that level, and that's their failure to build up somebody who's at least. Like, say what you will about Ryback. Ryback's perfect if he... See, Ryback would be perfect if he was being built up, winning. He's the monster. Then he faces Hulk Hogan, loses, and goes away.
Yeah.
Or faces Bruno Sammartino, loses, and goes away. But,
but
instead, they're looking at him going, we're going to build him up and put the belt on him, and he's going to run the company, and that's not going to work.
No.
But they're not even building up somebody for... Like, they used to do this with Taker when he didn't have the belt. They would still build up somebody, have him beat a lot of people, and then have him face Taker and lose.
Right.
They're not even doing that for Orton. So... You say who are going to put him up against? Nobody. Now, turning him heel? Because, A, I don't think the crowd wants it. Again, the crowd wants to cheer him. Why? Because he's a star.
Yeah.
So they're not going to take to a heel turn. And you're going to run across the same problem if he's a babyface or heel. At the end of the day, because they don't build up somebody to his level, or even so people can imagine he's at his level.
Yeah.
Because they give up on people so fucking fast. And Tenzai didn't work, but they didn't do anything to revamp or to try and make it work. They just gave up, for instance. Because of that, it's not going to matter.
Well, no, ultimately, it won't matter heel or babyface. The only reason I'd look possibly at a heel turn is because there are more babyfaces for him to, you know, he could have a...
Sheamus is the only guy I look at as a babyface. It's a logical matchup.
So, yeah, I mean, there's Sheamus, hey, Ryback, why not?
Yeah.
But, no, I'm just looking at...
You can match him up when Henry comes back. You never did that.
The only reason...
You never had him get his revenge.
That's true. The only reason I look
at... Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, D. Bryan, my boy. The only reason that I look at Randy Orton is because...
So he's
a
babyface now.
He has been, what?
D. Bryan.
Yeah, that's why if he goes heel, then he can fight Daniel Bryan. Right?
Yeah.
But the only reason that I...
I think it doesn't matter if you put him up... Because...
Do you think they will turn him heel?
People are starting to see Sheamus as a star. I don't think so, no. But people are starting to see Sheamus as a star, but he's still getting some boos. I don't think it matters. If you put him up against Orton, I don't think it draws more if it's heel face or if it's just...
a babyface match?
Not even a babyface match. Just this character versus this character. Here's this character's dynamic. Here's this character's dynamic. Both are good. Who's going to win?
And they're dudes.
Love?
They're dynamic.
Oh, okay. With attitude?
I think so.
Yeah.
Skateboards. The only reason I think they will turn him heel, that I could see them turning him heel, is only because he has been doing a lot of jobs lately. And that tends to be what they do
when
they're
getting ready to turn him heel. That doesn't mean they're going to turn him heel. That means they're going to put him in the championship belt right now. He's doing a lot of jobs. That means it's his turn to be the champion next.
Yeah, well, that's that could be true. There's that too, but I mean, it's
I don't think it means fuck all. I think it also means that they think, well, you need to elevate some people, and fucking he's Teflon at this point.
Oh yeah, sure, like Alberto Del Rio and the Big Show.
Yeah, well, they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, one thing they haven't been idiots about is recently, we talked about it a little bit, is the tag team division.
Yeah, they've really got a focus behind it. That's great.
Tag
How
team
long
action.
Have we been talking about
tag
this?
Team action, hot and heavy here in the World Wrestling Federation.
Let's just go through it. How many teams we got? We got the new team of Rhodes Scholars.
The Rhodes Scholars.
Awesome.
Which is tremendous, and it gives both of these guys something to do.
Yeah.
When the singles titles are.
Now, I hope it's not just, obviously, they're going right after. They're being pushed ahead of Primetime Players, which I'm okay with that.
Well, but the yes, I am okay too, because the Primetime Players, millions of dollars, have been number one contender 74 times, and now, well, as we go through the teams, they are in a feud with, essentially, with Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio.
And that's fine, too.
So that's excellent.
My only worry is that once Team Friendship or Hug It Out or Hell No... Team Hell No.
Hell No.
Once Team Hell No beats Road Scholars...
Team Road Scholars.
...that they break up and just... Not have an angle, but they just all of a sudden are singles guys again. I hope they actually... If you're going to do this, fucking commit to it and keep them together for a while.
Well, yeah, at this point, because it's so new, I'll have to wait and see. Again, I've only seen one match where they've been a team so far. So let's see how they gel. Let's see, because they may not click, and maybe I don't want them to be a team. Maybe it doesn't work. I reserve the right. I like the idea. I like the name. I like the fact that two mid-card or, you know, one kind of, not really upper mid-card, but top of the mid-card food chain in Cody Rhodes, basically, and this new guy that they're really high on that's holding up his end of the bargain are getting together as a team.
Yeah.
And as I said, right now, in theory, I like how it works. Let's see how it plays out. I probably do want them to stay together, but time will kind of tell on one. And again, part of it is now that the reason I don't mind that they're being a team is because we're talking about, you know, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, Team Hell No, the Primetime Players, the Usos, Primo and Epico as a team. The Ascension in NXT. You've got Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, who I have yet to see team, but they wear those yellow outfits together all the time.
Well, I mean, as I said, again, Tyson Kidd has Evan Bourne's role. So, I mean, Tyson Kidd's doing the job to fucking Wade Barrett in 2 minutes now.
Yes. Well, there's Kofi and Truth as well.
Kofi and Truth still is a team. Yeah,
yeah, they kept them together. So they again,
there's
did the thing to,
I mean,
stand out with Rhodes,
like
right?
Teams, though.
Yeah, exactly. No,
awesome.
And on SmackDown, they
and
started.
And Truth, as I look at those eight teams, I think most of them, some of them are definitely low mid-card.
Yeah.
But not all of them. And all of them have a role and can go.
Well, that's what I look at, is even the guys, like, probably at the bottom of the food chain at this point are Kidd and Gabriel.
Yeah, Kidd and Gabriel and the Colognes, well, fucking, who cares?
Yeah,
they can go.
They can go, and
so
the Usos can go.
Can go. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, and now they're having a tag team title, or a tag team number one contender tournament is starting on SmackDown, where the Rhodes Scholars are beating the Usos there. So they've got, and that's
good.
The thing.
Now they're a team and being built up. Perfect.
Yeah, and as I said, they've got about eight teams,
yeah.
So it's enough to have a sort of a mini tournament thing here, where they're not going to be doing these makeshift, you know, whoever and whoever kind of teams, you know, like
Zack Ryder and Mason Ryan.
Brodus Clay and, you know, Jack Swagger or something, you know, that's good.
That's very good,
and so I'm very happy. The other thing I will say from was it Raw? Yeah, it was Raw. I'm pretty sure it was SmackDown. It was SmackDown. You didn't see this.
No, I
didn't
see
SmackDown. But basically what happened, of course, Daniel Bryan cost Kane a match against Damian Sandow.
Yes.
First. And then later Kane had cost Bryan a match against Cody Rhodes, but in singles. But they're in the back, and Kane's looking for Daniel Bryan because he cost him this match. He's super pissed, and of course, Dr. Shelby is there. And so Shelby's trying to calm him down. He's like, I'm going to get that goat-faced. And he's sitting there, and you know they have those blue production boxes, like the crates or whatever. Yeah. Daniel Bryan pops out of the crate and goes, I have a goat face, and he starts arguing with Kane, right? He was hiding in the box from Kane, and then he just pops out of the box and points his finger and starts arguing with him. He gets out of the box, and nobody even, like, looks over, like, this guy just got out of a box. It was just all really normal, and it was fucking hilarious.
They're great. They're great in a lot of ways. It's just,
The group hug with Kane and Edge and Daniel Bryan, that was tremendous, where Kane says to Edge, you know, we used to tear each other apart and, you know, torture our families and all this, and Kane goes, yeah, I think I need to do something about that. And then he holds his arms out and goes, come here. And, of course, Edge hugs Kane, and he's doing the... And Daniel Bryan...
Great. It was, when they were the Brood, Kane at one point had all three of the Brood in the ring together, poured gasoline on the back of the Attitude Era, which was like the lights on fire. I can't remember what happened. Something
Jimmy Corderas saved him, I think. But, probably guys in white coats came out and got Kane, because I think that was the angle around then at the time.
Crowd was fucking going crazy cheering him as he was doing this.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan is looking...
Attitude Era.
Daniel Bryan is looking just sad as hell, and then, you know, jealous, basically, right? And then they look over at him, and they wave him in, and he's like, me? Okay, and he comes in for the... Oh, tremendous
stuff.
Yeah,
funny.
But again, they're hugging. It's hilarious.
That's funny, don't eat
but
the money.
It's not money, no. But anyway, it's a... Bring the tag team up, but that's one thing that's definitely a positive is that tag team action hot and heavy there.
Yeah.
2.7 rating for Raw.
Yeah.
So, you know, ratings action not hot
and
heavy.
What's the worst rating in 15 years, I understand.
It could be. Well, we were talking about this before kind of the rise. If they go this way, we were talking, you know, mid-high twos by football season, and here we are at football season again, right?
And this is the thing that I think a lot of people are blaming this on the...
Canada?
The 3-hour Raw.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to... 3-hour Raw is why it's 2.7, it is. 3-hour Raw has made it go 2.7 faster.
Faster, yes.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's 2.7 faster because of 3 hours. But they were going to be a 2.7 eventually anyways, or lower, because they're just stale. And even like this Raw, which had some good moments, this last one, doesn't do too good. I mean, now you have to put on that type of great show or good show for 6 months to a year for it to turn around. And there's not that feeling, I don't think, in anybody, even hardcore fans, they're not going to say they can do that. Nobody has that feeling.
It should have been blatantly obvious when the 3rd hour, the Nielsen people were calling the Himalaya... And they're showing it decline, and all it was the Nielsen people showing the decline of the ratings, and they kept screaming, do you want to go faster? And then everybody said, yes. So the ratings went down faster. You see what I did there? Emily, a ride? No?
No.
No, yeah. You must be this skinny to ride the ride, so you probably didn't get on the ride. It's all broke down.
Your cock must be this high to ride the, but I do get on.
Yeah, extensions. The penis equivalent of standing on the candy apple.
An optical illusion in the.
We're a wrestling show.
Fuck no, we are. All right. Anything else there? The ratings. Anything else?
Ratings.
You have to say?
I mean, again, football is in and it.
Let me ask you something. How long has been Monday Night Football been on the air? Since the 60s?
Yeah.
So during the Attitude Era, when they were doing those, like, eights and stuff, was Monday Night Football on?
Yes.
Holy shit!
Was yes, but...
Monday Night Football was on when they were doing big ratings? Holy shit!
Not when they were doing their biggest ratings, no. Right? Like, I mean, football took an audience. Yes, they were doing sevens and eights. But not when they were doing, not during football season they weren't.
Okay, so they were doing 6.5 though.
Yes. I'm not saying that they, you know, that it is, but football has always taken
and
a bite out of the wrestling audience. And that's why when we were talking about.
There was a point where wrestling was taking a bite out of the football audience.
Well,
and it's not doing, there was.
There was.
And it's not doing that anymore. So you can sit there and blame football. Yeah, football's hurting you.
Yeah.
When you're shitty, football hurts you more than when you're good. But if they were good, it wouldn't hurt nearly as much.
No, you're right. But while I'm saying
don't sit there and say fucking blame the football.
Football.
We would have said
it is. But the reason that they've got 2.7. When we sat back in the summer and they were getting 3.1s and 3.2s, and we were saying when football season comes, they're going to be getting 2.7s, 2.5s, and so on because of, again, when football season is going to take that bite.
It's faster, but I'm still saying if they were good, they could fight. They could.
Yeah, but
they're not. No, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's about the fact the product is stale.
Yeah.
The staleness.
Oh,
I'm going to read everybody to go back to our website. Blog written a few weeks ago by Freaks TV. He did it on his own website. He lent it to us. I put a few commentaries in there.
Do we have to give it back?
And this is how you reboot this show and how to give it, because it needs a fresh coat of paint.
You reboot
it. And a new, not just a fresh, fresh coat of paint.
This is how
we
reboot it.
This is how we boot it.
Reboot it.
This is how we reboot. Doesn't quite go.
Not when you do it. Anyway, continue your plug.
Yeah, but anyways, everybody go back and read that. Because honestly, this is, you need to reboot it both in a look and a booking philosophy. And this is what they're missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
And Freaks TV is also wickedly talented. So you want to see the graphics and stuff he created for the new look. But that's exactly it. I mean, the 2.7, yes, I still say if football didn't run and they kept on going like this, it might have taken another year or two. But eventually they'd be down to a 2.7 or 2.5 anyways. Like, it's not just football.
All I'm
it's
saying is that come January, they'll presumably be up in that 3.0, 3.1s again.
They'll be back to a 2.9, maybe a 2.8, because they'll probably bottom out here in football.
That's true. They could keep that. You're right. I mean,
and
but
they
I
gain about 0.2 to 0.3.
Well, I'd have to see, and I don't remember off the top of my head what they were doing last year in terms of, you know, like, the last, if they were hitting, you know, 3.4s and 3.3s and stuff. If that's the case, right, 2.9s,
3.0s.
This time
about last year, we weren't watching because you got so pissed off what they did with Punk.
That's
while
true.
Watching her twin.
Well, but we started watching again around the Royal Rumble when things start to build back up and at a point. And that's all I'm saying is that in that sort of road to WrestleMania season, if they were getting 3.3, 3.4s last
year. We did watch The Rock, and we didn't do a show, but we did watch The Rock and Cena team up.
Did we?
We did.
Okay.
We did.
Yes, we did. Yeah, because Zack Ryder, yes, that's right. So, yeah, we didn't do a show, did we?
No, we didn't do a show from August something to sometime in January.
Yeah. It's weird.
Because they were fucking sucking.
Well, I thought it was because, that is very true.
Ah.
Kevin Nash showed up.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty much what happened, is Kevin Nash showed up. And Hunter beat Punk, and that was it.
And you were like,
fuck this. But, I mean, there we are. I mean, as I said, if they were getting 3.3s, 3.4s last year, then they probably will get 2.9s, 3.0s this year once the football season is over.
Yeah.
And then.
But it's going to keep on happening. And like I say, I said this a year ago, that the ratings will keep going down. They'll get down to a 2.6. They'll get
down
to a 2.5. But it'll be so slow that someday they're going to turn around and go, holy fuck, we're doing 2.7s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the sign, the writing was on the wall a long time ago. But because it's so gradual and slow
that
people all of a sudden didn't realize that it was going in that direction working within the company.
Yeah.
Because they went to 3 hours, it happened faster. All of a sudden, it's got to give them a slap in the face. And that could be a good thing. This could be the best thing for us, to see it go to a 2.7 and even lower, because it might mean that they have to go, fuck, what we're doing is, and just bringing back Triple H and these guys isn't going to work either. We have to figure out we have to actually go in that new direction. We have to actually go and freshen things up and go with a new booking philosophy and change our stale product. It might give them a slap in the face, because otherwise...
No, it won't. Again, what gives them a slap in the face is how much money are we making.
That's true.
What will slap them in the face is that they are on track in the fourth quarter to have a money-losing quarter.
That's true.
Okay.
As well.
And if that continues, again, that's going to be that'll be the change. That when they're not as profitable.
But isn't their television contract their most highest? What earns them the most money?
Yes. Well, right now it is.
And isn't that contract worth a lot less at a 2.7 than at a 3.4?
Presumably it would be, yes. But the other thing you're looking at is the addition of their Hulu deal, right? We don't know yet how much they're getting paid for Hulu. But, I mean, there is some money in that. Again, we don't know how much
yet.
So, and they've got this the show on ION, right, for the main event show, the Saturday Morning Slam show. Basically what they've done is they've added more programming. And that doesn't really mean, and this is the key, that this doesn't really mean that, that Vince has more work to do. Because Vince isn't really going to start creating storylines or look into, we got to have something for that main event show, pal, or Saturday Morning Slam. Let's make sure we get the WrestleMania angle over on that. Like, no, I mean, it's just a compilation-type show that's giving them some extra money for very little effort on behalf. I mean, don't get me wrong. Someone's got to do this shit. You know, someone lower down in the totem pole has to do all this, and they have a lot more work to do.
Yeah.
But it's not any skin off of Vince's teeth or Stephanie or Hunter, and yet more money is coming in. So if they're looking at it from that perspective that we can just do more and have more money coming in, if it can balance that out by having more content, less work, and similar bottom line money, yes, if the USA deal comes up and they're getting less money, maybe now they've got the network up and running and or whatever version they're going to have there, and it's going to be maybe their YouTube deal is up and they're going to get more from YouTube because they're bringing in more that way. So, again, revenue streams are always changing and going to be balancing it out, but I agree that all signs point to that television revenue going down from their main deal in the USA network. But that doesn't necessarily, that would be the change. Like that's going to be.
I would pretty much say whatever money they're making from Saturday Morning Slam, and they're making from ION, and they're making from Hulu, could easily be offset by it's none of that is a it's a drop in the bucket compared to what they make off Raw. And if they make a lot less off Raw, that's not going to matter.
Well, we don't know. And again, we don't know yet. And we don't know what...
We don't know yet. But I feel comfortable saying that.
Yes, but I also feel comfortable in saying that they are not going to proactively do this.
No.
That it's going to be a reaction to, they're going to get less money, they're going to be earning less money, now it's going to be, how do we turn this around?
Exactly. And the first thing they're going to do is look to old stars and what worked in the past. And then that fails, then they're going to... I'm saying that eventually this could be good for us. As fans who want some good product and something fresh, this could be... It's going to take a while. It's not going to happen fucking tomorrow.
No.
But it's a good thing. And I guarantee you Vince blew a fucking gasket. So.
Well, I mean, how far down did it go, though? With 2.7, what was it last week? 2.9?
Last week, 2.9,
3.0, 2.9, 2.8. Yeah, I mean, these things...
But it's not just about the rating, it's also about the amount of viewers. The amount of viewers is low.
Well, that's the big thing, is that was it. It was the viewership. We thought it was like 3.2 million viewers.
Keep in mind that the viewership, the overrun was the worst overrun pretty much ever.
Yes.
The overrun was with John Cena. And that the controversy happening in the football game happened after Raw went off the air. So that can't be blamed. It can't be
That's right.
So,
and it was a boring ass football game.
Until that, really.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it's not. Well, I mean, it just wasn't something that if you turned over to the football game. I mean, as I did a couple times, I wasn't hooked on the football game.
It was a football game. You know. So I mean, ultimately, that's what we're looking at here. Is that this is a negative sign. Now that said, like you say, pay per view buys are up a little bit, probably because people have more disposable income to be able to spend on it, and house show attendance is I think probably even about even right now. But at the end of the day, none of that makes as much money for them as Raw.
I was looking at some of the Eastern Canada swing numbers there. The fans that come in, it's like 4,500 people, you know, 2,800 people into these things. It's just like it's pretty fucking sad.
Yeah, that's not the height of the Attitude Era.
They're
doing 14,000, you know, something on every building.
I don't even know that
house show or not.
I don't even know if that's the height of the new generation.
Yeah,
you know,
it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I mean, when I was watching JBL wrestle Eddie Guerrero in the corral here,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty. That's pretty bad that way, right? So I mean, it's a little better than that, but not much. I mean, there's a reason they used to come here once a year, twice a year. Now it's been over a year. With no, so it's going to be 18 months at least before they come out. I would think probably we'll get a Raw or a SmackDown somewhere between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania at this point. If they're in Phoenix for the Rumble, I would think that they would possibly come up for that. But
yeah.
that's
I think last year they didn't come up as much as we expected though either. So
Well, it's once.
Yeah.
It was in August. It was the only time they came. And it used to be every May.
Yeah.
And it kind of started to get pushed back. So then it seemed to be every August for a while. And now, who knows? But, and again, the attendance sucked for SmackDown, too.
The attendance wasn't good. And then today's SmackDown.
Well, no, but I mean, but the fact is...
It was originally going to be Raw, and they pulled it to SmackDown. Remember, they made the change.
That's right, yeah.
So I think that pissed people off.
Well, but again...
If they didn't announce a SmackDown, probably wouldn't have...
But they don't care, because they can, if they can get that many people, and they look at these SmackDown tapings and say, well, we didn't get a big crowd, so there's no real reason to return, right? Or no incentive to return, I guess. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Impact, because we've been all WWE, so we've got a little bit of TNA.
Can we do this in 5 minutes or less? I can do this in 1 sentence or less.
Uh-huh.
The worst show since... This is as bad as a Vince Russo bad show. This is as bad as a bad Vince Russo show, is what I mean to say. This was not a good show.
No.
They're going towards... They're rounding the corner for their biggest show of the year with some of their worst product in the last few months.
Like, there's really no... really, once that Bound for Glory series ended, because I think that's really... it's almost like they need...
Even before the Battle for Glory series, even though they were going into it and going to announce it, there was a good product week in, week out. And now, this is 2 weeks in a row. Last week wasn't that good. This week is really bad.
Well, this week was too much of the Aces and Eights clubhouse bullshit.
Well, and it's bad.
Yeah.
And it's just, Hogan can't move enough to even be able to sell the slightest thing. Sting is not much ahead of that right now.
No.
With
his grandpa pants.
The what do you call it? The gut check. I understand. Was it gut
check?
I thought they changed the title after Taz got there to gut check. But anyways, it's the same every single week. It's boring.
Oompa, loompa.
Gobbledygook. Just nothing going on there.
Yeah, they said no to that.
Everything, like the Aces, the Bobby Roode, James Storm, doesn't matter.
With King Mo as the...
Yeah, they announced MMA superstar King Mo as the special guest referee, and then never even fucking show a picture or graphic with him. Like, so they're announcing this guy saying he's a superstar, who a lot of their fans, I guarantee, have no idea who the fuck he is, and they don't even show a graphic of him. Like,
No, that's right.
They just... You know, the main event has no buys right now.
They're limping into Bound for Glory is really what they're doing.
The Aces and Eights was just so bad tonight. It's so ridiculous. The idea that they kidnapping Joseph Park and hitting him with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they don't mention that at all this time. No, nothing. No bandage on his head. He was hitting the forehead with a hammer. No bandage, nothing, no injury, nothing of that. He's just strapped down. They've had him on a table the entire week, and they've kept him. It's one thing to kidnap somebody during a wrestling show, you might think about it. But as soon as you go, so these guys fucking kidnapped this guy and had him for a week, and there's no police. The only people who could fucking go after him are superhero Sting and Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
It's like, no, I'm pretty sure, considering that they were kidnapped and 10 minutes later they were in their clubhouse, I'm pretty sure the police decided to take a look around for them, for this guy they kidnapped and held. They could find him. Like, the whole thing it lacks bad acting, it's bad booking, it's bad logic, it's just bad.
But look how long it took Joseph Park to find Abyss.
Yeah, and actually, I wouldn't be surprised. Here's the other thing, and this is going to be the swerve. I can already tell you what it is.
That Abyss is going to be looking for Joseph Park?
No. Oh. Well, Abyss will be, because it's going to be our best. It's Hulk Hogan is not allowed to bring himself. To the show, because he kept on saying,
best.
I'm ready for you, brother. And they're like, no, Hogan, this isn't about you. You're not listening, Hogan.
Yes.
This isn't about you. This is about
for once in your adult
best.
Life.
He said, the guy from Aces and Eights, whoever the leader was in his back return, certainly they wanted you to think it was Bully Ray, but who knows?
They wanted you to think it was Bully Ray. Part of it wanted to think it was Eric Bischoff as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, but anyways, his back turned, he says that Hogan says, no, I'm ready for you. He goes, no, Hogan, it's not about you. And then Hogan starts to say, I'm ready for you again. He throws water and says, no, you're not paying attention, Hogan.
Yeah.
It's not about you. What this is about is that you're going to take your two best, you're going to get in there with our two best, and after our two best destroy them, you'll feel guilty. So it's not about you, but you'll feel guilty.
Yes.
So it's not about you, but it is fucking about you.
The other thing that they said is that after the Aces and Eights guys beat up the TNA guys, it'll force Hulk Hogan to say, ain't we great?
Yeah, something like that. So it's just...
That's J-E-double-F.
J J-R?
J-A-R-R-E-T.
Double T.
Double
J. Say one more time. Double J?
Double J. J-A-R-R. J, no, J-E-F-F. J-A-R-R-E-T.
Double J?
Jeff Jarrett. The world's greatest singer. The world's greatest entertainer.
And the world's greatest wrestler.
And ha-ha-ha-ha. The world's greatest wrestler. Ain't I great? There's your ace as an eighth leader.
Yeah.
Which is all right the way this fucking angle's been going.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. Like I say, here's the swerve. What it's going to be is Sting can be there. Hogan can't because Hogan can't wrestle. So it's Sting, and he's going to bring our other best. Then he's going
right.
to be in the ring. They're going to be like, who are we going to bring? And out hits fucking Abyss's music.
Yeah.
And it's fucking Abyss and Sting. And the last second, Abyss turns on Sting, rips off his mask, shows he's Joseph Parkins being with him the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's what they're doing. And
well, but it's... The other thing I
well,
thought,
the leader
well,
or not,
no,
I don't know, but that's the whole.
The
that's
swerve,
the whole thing.
No, the swerve here
that's
is that
the swerve.
No, there's a double swerve part. Or there's two parts to the swerve because the first part is that yes, Abyss turns on Sting and Abyss
and
is
it's
the leader.
Be
no,
so
Abyss
stupid,
is
the whole
is
fucking
the leader.
Audience the whole time is going to be looking at him going, fucking this Abyss guy is the Joseph Park guy that we've seen back.
Abyss
everybody knows it.
Is going to turn on Sting and join the Aces and Eights, okay?
Yeah.
Then the Aces and Eights get involved in the main event, okay? And they cost Austin Aries the belt. And then Abyss rips off the mask, reveals that it's Joseph Park, and says, it was me, Austin! It was me all along!
There's something else that's pissing me off. I mean, there was some weird stuff with Austin Aries tonight. But, Austin Aries is, like, fighting Aces and Eights. They fucking broke his arm, though they didn't sell that for too long.
Arm breaker.
Yeah, exactly. They broke his arm. He's fighting them at the pay-per-view. And as soon as that pay-per-view is over, he's got nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
They want nothing to do with him. They just moved on. It's completely illogical. This is really shitty.
It
really sucks because I was so excited for TNA. And I mean...
The wheels have fallen off.
WrestleMania 20, they limped into that. But at least I was waiting for the main event match because
mm-hmm.
I figured it would be great and I wanted to see the moment.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Eddie Guerrero there and stuff with the belt, so there was a couple things I wanted to see.
Benoit.
But who?
Benoit.
No.
We don't
speak his name.
Oh. He limped out.
Yeah. Well, something. But anyways,
his
no,
physical
that was,
location.
That was Ultimo Guerrero. Or
right.
Ultimo Dragon.
He tripped out.
That was Ultimo Dragon.
He was straight tripping.
Yeah, he was straight tripping. He was limping afterwards.
Yeah. Well, limping ain't easy.
Yeah, no, neither is shrimping.
Well, he tripped because he was tripped out on Xanax.
No, that's Kurt Angle tonight. We'll
Speaking
get to
of
that.
Benoit.
We'll get to Angle.
Gangle?
We'll
Gangrel?
We'll get to both of them.
Really?
They do drugs together.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the brood.
It is. It's the brood.
Yeah. Yeah, that, different type of brood.
That bites.
Yeah, sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Gangrel and Kevin Thorne are hanging out together?
It's possible. That's possible.
Yeah. With Vampiro?
I think Gangrel has gangrene.
Mm. It's possible.
Al
it's
Green,
possible.
The dog.
What the fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah.
I wasn't listening.
I don't know.
But Aces and Eights is really, again, what happened.
WrestleMania 20, they were bad booking going into it. But at least there was a couple of things I wanted to see, because as a long-term fan, I wanted to see those moments.
Yeah.
This doesn't even have that, and it's bad booking. It's the worst. That's the only time I can ever think of WWE limping into WrestleMania. Maybe WrestleMania 9.
Well, that was just a constant limp.
Yeah.
That was chronic.
But I mean, again, at least I had something because I was a hard fan and it was his chance to defend the belt at Mania. So, I mean, there was at least something. But really, they're just limping into Mania. But that's been, I mean, WrestleMania 20 is a long time ago.
Yes.
So, I just can't picture WWE doing what fucking TNA is doing this time, just limping in. Like,
well, but part of it, again, is the fact that, I mean, when we talk about it, I mean, really, Bound for Glory, it's our biggest pay-per-view of the year. Well, why is it your biggest pay-per-view of the year? It doesn't have that mystique other than the fact that they fucking say it's your biggest pay-per-view of the year. Well, wonderful. They do it, they always do it
it's
from...
It's getting bigger, though. It is definitely their biggest pay-per-view. It's definitely their biggest buys. It definitely is built up and promoted like it for a long enough time. Then it doesn't mean as much as WrestleMania. No, of course not. I don't want to predict it. But it does mean more than fucking Turning Point.
Well, yes, it does, yes. We talked about lockdown and Slammiversaries and things like that. Obviously, buy rate-wise, that's not, the same. All lockdown does have, rivals it, I guess, in some ways. in terms of the buy rate. It would be like a number two type thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I mean, the matches that we know now are the women, the Tara against Brooke, Tess Marker. We know about the three-way tag team title match. We know about Aries and Rude. We presume we're going to see Magnus and new television champion Samoa Joe, which we'll talk to about in a second. And then we've got a tag match with two aces and eight guys against Sting and a partner, as we said, probably Abyss. So, right, and Bobby Roode and James Storm.
Unless it's the only other guy could be is Bully Ray, because it looks like he's probably going to be in the main event. Like we had thought about how they set it up for a three-way, but they might not go that direction. And if they don't, then he's the logical guy.
And again, this week, I mean, we got to be thinking there's two
impacts
left.
The upper mid-card main eventer guy without a spot.
There's two impacts left.
Yeah.
Right? There's and so...
But I have to watch them.
It's, yes. Yes, we do. I mean, again, it's one bad show. I mean,
two bad shows.
Two both
a really bad show. That's a really wrong time.
Well, it is, and that's the thing, is it's the timing of it, and it's just, I mean, I don't know, again, you've got probably, we talk about Al Snow and Joey Ryan, possibly. Nothing, no Zima Ion, no X Division, for this, you know, build up at all for this, you know, for this pay-per-view. Right now.
We only have 2 hours.
Yeah, I know, right? But I mean, so, we know a few things. You can have your King Mo deal there, but, I mean, it doesn't really much... It doesn't matter at this point. You know, it really... That's the best way to put it. It doesn't matter at this
so
point.
So, Samoa Joe, because Devon has left the company, and Hogan said publicly on the show that he'd like him back, and he likes him and hopes he comes back.
Contract negotiations,
he
brother.
Said, upper management has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
So, he put... Samoa Joe beat Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson,
choked
yeah.
him out.
Yeah, whatever. Who didn't?
But he wouldn't tap. yeah. So basically, I mean,
yeah.
You know, nothing spectacular. I hope he does defend it every week. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like you said, we look like we're gonna get him and Magnus. The highlight of the show, the best part of the show, was a fuck up,
yes.
a blooper, and just. Tell everybody that. That's the only thing I've left.
Well, they did the top four, or they did the four with, it was Garrett Bischoff, Magnus, Anderson, and Joe. And so two of them were going to face to become the new TV champion. And the first guy eliminated was Magnus by Hogan. Not quite sure why, but Magnus was. And so he gets up to leave, and he goes to push on the door, and it doesn't open. He goes pushing the door, and Joe's like, yeah, try pulling. And, yeah, that they just kind of jaw back and forth and make fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like
I think you could hear a stagehand
laughing
or saying something in the back, like you got to pull the door or something.
And yeah, and Joe's like, yeah, try pull. And so I mean, Magnus is like finally like kind of turns and he starts trying not to smile, but he looked at him and like signals like you're fat. Like,
yeah.
He's fat. Yeah. And Joe's sitting there and he turns away and he starts laughing and he's like, you never see Joe character laugh. It's just like laughing, like legit laughing. Fucking hilarious.
It was fucking hilarious.
And the highlight of the show was a blooper.
Yes. Second best part of the show, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles commercial.
No, that was shitty,
or
too.
Or a promo, or whatever it
was.
That was
shitty, too.
Yeah. Second best part of the show.
Yeah, it was awful. But probably not even the second best, but that was shitty.
Yeah.
I like the TMNT too much to enjoy that, because that was shitty. But anyways... Kurt Angle afterwards on MMA Uncensored.
Yes. Speaking of Xanax, yes.
He was obviously fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he's doing his very rehearsed answers to the, you know, it's MMA Uncensored.
I like what he called, they talked about
Batista.
And he said he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Smart kid.
He's a good, strong kid.
I think he might be old enough to be Kurt Angle's dad.
Yeah. I think he was actually, Batista was Kurt Angle's dad's favorite wrestler when he was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But, whatever, neither one of them's young. But, yeah, he was fucked up. That's the biggest thing for me about it.
Yeah, and that's true. And he gave the standard pat answers about, you know, all the answers that he's been given about how, you know, why he didn't go into the Ultimate Fighter and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
There's another Kurt Angle interview.
Bullshit! Of the week.
Yes. Definitely of the week. Maybe, well, of the day, anyway.
Yeah.
He'll probably tell something on Twitter tomorrow. But
or maybe later tonight.
Maybe. You never know. But anyway, I think we're probably up. We hit everything that there is to talk
everything.
About.
I just want to say we're going to go out OUT.
Really?
Number one, thanks everybody for listening. A couple people that were international listeners, they wrote us a question. Haven't heard from Brian and Lee for a long time. The Irish man and the Chinese lady, remember? And sent us.
Remember.
Yeah, there you go. I would love to hear from them. And again, I would love it if you can think of a name for a Ryback's finisher having to do with food that's funny. Email me, Mo, M-O, at We Talk.
Oh, I thought you were going to name it the Brian and Lee.
Brian Lee, he was a good wrestler. No, he
was. He was.
He was.
He used to be the Undertaker.
He was the Undertaker.
Yeah.
But Brian, I think it was Brian and Lee, wasn't that it? I'm pretty sure.
Brian Lee.
Brian and Lee. No, anyways.
Oh, Brian and Lee, yes.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear from you guys again because we haven't heard from you for a long, long time. And I trust you're still listening. We have more listeners than ever. Thank you, everybody who listens. They say Mo at We Talk Podcast, M-O-N-O-E on my name, Mo _ We Talk. Because of where We Talk Podcast.
And there's no E on that either.
No, there isn't. No, over our sister site.
Well, there isn't We, I guess.
Fantasy Football Talk and then Comic Book Podcast and all that other good blogs and shit there, too. But for our
not
shit,
so much
the
blogs.
Best place. No, we have one.
Oh, there's a blog.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
We have a few of those a month. But, anyways, best place for the best wrestling content that we can provide is at.
Well, no. I mean, it's the best wrestling discussion that anyone can provide.
I know, but I didn't want to seem like I was bragging.
I do.
Okay.
Yes, wetalkwrestling.com. It's at wetalkwrestling on the Twitter. You can email me personally, Addie, at wetalkwrestling.com. Stitcher, we're on iTunes as well. Just type in wrestling. We're in the top 20 on
iTunes. Like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
Oh, you too.
Follow us on Twitter. Go to We Talk Wrestling Shop to buy all the merchandise.
What?
I don't know.
Are you getting a cut that I don't know about?
And take care, because Mo is fat. No, I don't know. I just, woo, woo, woo.
You know it.
Well, actually, it would be for you, because you're fat. Moo, moo, moo. I love it. That will stick.
Especially since my name is Mo, and it's Moo.
Moo, 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 you ate it. Done.
That's Ryback's finisher.
The Moo, 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 feed me more, you ate it. Another one bites the dust. How's that for a finisher? Anyway. So,
we're top it, folks.
Top it, please. In the meantime, and in between time.
OUT.
That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.